What I want to do when we planned these Sunday afternoon services, and I thought that we would be meeting every Sunday, I thought I would like to preach a series of sermons on the prayers of the Bible. And the reason I wanted to do this is I want to encourage us as a church to commit ourselves to prayer. I often wonder if we fully understand the power of prayer, the value of prayer. What a great blessing it is that God has given us access into the throne room of heaven, into the throne of grace, that we might come as the Israelites were unable to come. They could only enter the outer court except the great high priest who could enter the Holy of Holies. The rest of the nation could never come into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. But you remember when Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two, and access was made for God's people. Now this is God saying, I want you to come in prayer. And the only way any local church anywhere in the world will know blessing from God is if that local church commits itself to prayer. I've known churches in this country that have seen conversions, that have seen growth. I've known churches in Africa that have seen conversions and have seen growth. I've seen churches in Asia that have seen conversions and have seen growth. I once preached in a church in Nepal, and that church had started with 25 people. And when I was preaching to at least 500. And the common thing that has been the factor in all those churches has been a commitment to prayer. It hasn't been men's devices, men's methods, men and their abilities. It has been prayer. You can have the finest preacher in the world in this pulpit. And you can have the finest musicians who will come and play wonderful music, and we can have the finest singing, and we can have the most wonderful methods and devices for evangelism. But if we don't commit ourselves to prayer, nothing will happen of eternal value. On the contrary, you can have the most ordinary preachers in the pulpit, and you may have no musicians and no music. This happened for many years in Nairobi. We had no musicians. We always sang without music. We sang unaccompanied. Not because we wanted to, but because we didn't have musicians. And the preacher, I can tell you because I was a preacher, was no great preacher. Very, very ordinary person. Swahili wasn't even my mother tongue, and I preached in Swahili. And we had a tin building in the poorest area of Nairobi. But the church was committed to prayer. And because the church was committed to prayer, we saw conversions and we saw growth. We planted the church with 17 people. And God, every year, gave us conversions and baptisms and growth. Prayer. And we need to learn this. We need to learn that if we don't come and get hold of God in prayer, Copse Road Chapel will not prosper under the hand of God. It will continue its decline and eventually die. But if we commit ourselves to prayer, if all of us, we all said, we're going to lay hold of God in prayer. We're going to be like Jacob. And we're going to say to God, you must bless us. Unless you bless us, we will not let you go. We're not going to let you go. You must bless us. If Copse Road were to take hold of the words of Isaiah, we will give you no rest. You know, it's God saying to the people of Israel, give me no rest. Come to me in prayer and badger me and nag me and give me no rest and I will bless. Well, we've got to get hold of this teaching from the scripture and we've got to pray. And it is my prayer that from now, especially through 2021, I've no idea what's going to happen in 2021, but I pray we will be a praying church. And what I want to do is look at some of these passages in the Bible where prayer was brought by God's people. And I want to look at these in order to encourage us to prayer. So this evening I'm beginning a series of studies in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm not going to deal with the whole passage tonight. I'm going to start tonight, and in future studies I'm going to be looking at this passage, and then we're going to turn to other Old Testament passages of prayer and learn lessons from them. I'm not going to be very long. I know I've had a long introduction. I promise you I'm not going to be very long, but I want to bring three things by way of introduction in this passage. I want us to notice in the first place from this passage that God's people have great enemies. God's people have great enemies. Look at verse 1 of this passage. And after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazaz and Tamar, that is, Engedi. A great multitude. So there were these three nations. There were the Moabites, there were the Ammonites, and then there were these people, we've never seen them before in the Old Testament, called the Meunites, and later they're called the people of Mount Seir. And these three nations formed an alliance against the nation of God, Jehoshaphat's people. And they formed, obviously, a vast army, a huge army. And they came in battle against Judah, God's people, in the Old Testament, no doubt determined to destroy them. So here, first of all, then is a lesson for us. My friends, we have great enemies. Do not underestimate the enemies of God's people. Do not underestimate the devil and his powers and his intelligence. And how clever he is. Do not underestimate the demons that he has at his beck and call. Do not underestimate the power of the world which resists the church of Jesus Christ and stands against the church of Jesus Christ. Do not even underestimate indwelling sin in you as a believer. Do not underestimate how much damage your own sinfulness can do you. Yes, we're born again of God, and yes, our sin has been forgiven, and yes, we belong to the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, but we still have sin in us. You can't deny, if you deny that, you're actually calling God a liar. This is what John says in his letter, doesn't he? So do not underestimate this. I wonder if we don't commit ourselves to prayer simply because we underestimate the forces against us. Actually, I think we also underestimate the power of prayer. But I think we do perhaps underestimate the forces against us. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ always has a perilous existence. You can't guarantee any church will just continue going on and going on and going on. Churches close. And I honestly believe they closed because they stopped praying. These enemies that came against Jehoshaphat were cruel and unjust. Now, why do I say unjust? Well, they were unjust. If you read Jehoshaphat's prayer, I'm not going to deal with his prayer this evening. I will come back to it. But if you read Jehoshaphat's prayer, Jehoshaphat says, when Israel were in the wilderness, on their way from Egypt to the promised land, They came to Moab, and they could have entered Moab, and they could have fought Moab and destroyed Moab because God was with them. They could have done all of that. But they chose not to declare war on Moab. They chose to skirt the boundaries of Moab and leave Moab be. That's how Israel acted towards Moab. They didn't attack Moab. They could have. They could have gone to God in prayer and said, here is Moab, it's in our way, we want to attack them, and God would have given them victory. But they chose not to attack Moab. They went round the boundaries of Moab. It's a longer way. They went round the boundaries of Moab on their way to the promised land. So Moab had every reason not to attack Israel. But they come and they attack Israel. And so when Jehoshaphat goes to God in prayer, he reminds them of this. And he says, these people, we could have attacked them and we didn't, and yet they come and attack us. So the enemies of God are powerful. The enemies of God are cruel. The enemies of God are unjust. Don't expect any mercy from Satan. Don't expect any mercy from the world. Don't expect any mercy from indwelling sin. This is why the Bible says, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Expect no mercy from it. So the first thing, God's people have great enemies. The second thing in this passage, God's people are in and of themselves very weak. God's people are in and of themselves very weak. The three nations form this alliance, and they come up against Judah. And some men come to Jehoshaphat, and they say to him, a great multitude is coming against you. And it says in verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Is that an unspiritual response? I tell you, it isn't. Is that a wrong response? It isn't. Because what Jehoshaphat is doing here, he understands this, that he can't have confidence in himself and in his resources. That's what that actually means. It means Jehoshaphat took stock of what he had, the resources he had, the armies he had. And he realized, in and of myself, with my armies, we've had it. We cannot beat this vast alliance that has come against us. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites, they've all come with this vast army. We cannot stand against them. We don't have the resources. And I tell you this, it's a godly response. This is a biblical response. This is a God-honoring response to say, we can't, in and of ourselves, defeat our enemies. I wonder if that is why we don't pray. I wonder if we think, well, we're Copse Road Chapel. We've been here over 100 years. We've had men in the pulpit who believe the Bible. And we believe the Bible. So surely, we will just continue. Surely this church will just continue decade after decade after decade after decade. I wonder if we've ever really thought about this, that our strength is not in ourselves, it is in God. Please forgive me for going on about this, but it is something that strikes you when you come from abroad. You know, people often, when I speak at meetings, they often say, well, you were a pastor in Africa and you're now a pastor in Britain. What are the differences? And some features of British life are much, much, much better than church life in Africa, undoubtedly. But I think one of the things that immediately stands out is how prayerful people are and how we don't seem to be. Now, I don't want to make definite judgment because I can't judge your prayer lives. But I do say this to you. We've got to be more prayerful. We've got to come to God in prayer. We've got to see this, that in and of ourselves we do not have the resources to stand against our enemies. The enemies of the church in this country are very powerful. And let's face it, the enemies of the church in this country are winning. They're on a roll. Because secularism, atheism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, they're all increasing. And the churches are closing down. We've got to face facts. We don't want to go to sleep and ignore facts. So, the first point then, the enemies of the church are very powerful. Secondly, we as God's people in and of ourselves do not have the resources to face them. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid. But the third and final thing I want to say to you this evening is, God's people have a very great resource at their disposal. God's people have a very great resource at their disposal. Look at verse 3. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Full stop. No, not full stop. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and trembled and said, that's it, we're finished. We might as well surrender. No, doesn't say that. Look at the way verse 3 flows. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. And set his face to seek the Lord. Do you see how it's worded there? Isn't just, he sought the Lord. Isn't just, well, he thought, I'll have a little prayer. There is something here that is more than just, I think we'll pray. He set his face to seek the Lord. So there was this determination in Jehoshaphat. The nation is facing extermination. If the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites win, Judah is finished. Because they don't take prisoners. You know how things were in the Old Testament. You defeat the other people. You destroy all of them. You kill all the men. And you carry off the women and the children. So the nation ceases to exist. I mean, is Moab existing today? No, it's been destroyed by one of its enemies. Are the Ammonites in existence? They've been destroyed by their enemies. This is how it was in the Old Testament. If Judah had lost, they would have been exterminated. They would have been finished. And so Jehoshaphat makes a resolution. Jehoshaphat says to himself, I'm going to seek the Lord in prayer, and I'm not going to allow anything to hinder me from praying. I'm going to come to God in prayer, and I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray, because we have in heaven a God who answers prayer. Was that you, Andy? Thank you. That's a real encouragement. That is what he did, you see. He set his face to prayer. And proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Do you see this picture? It's a superb picture. Because you've got, if you can imagine in your mind's eye, you've got the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites, this vast army. And then you've got all the people from the cities of Judah. So the vast army has gathered here. And the people from the cities of Judah have gathered here. But there's a difference. They're not facing each other. These people are facing Judah. But Judah have set their face to seek the Lord. Judah have met not to take on this vast army. Judah have met for prayer. That's what they've met. It's a national prayer. They've all come, all the people from the cities. That's what it says, doesn't it, in the text? And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. And all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, if you read on the passage, and in future studies, we will continue to look at this passage. We will study Jehoshaphat's prayer, and we will study the outcome of Jehoshaphat's prayer. But you know what the outcome is. You know how God fought for Judah. And how God destroyed the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites, and destroyed their armies. And Judah survived because they prayed. My friends, please let us not underestimate the power of prayer. You look at what God has done to encourage His people to pray. God has opened the way into the Holy of Holies. God has invited us to pray. God has given us every encouragement to pray. Read your New Testament, how many times Jesus encourages people to pray. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And to everyone who seeks, and everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, it shall be opened. Or the parable of the unjust judge. Then Jesus told this parable that men should always pray and not give up. Do you know that's how Luke 18:1 begins? Men should always pray and not give up. A parable there. And then God has given us prayers in the Bible as encouragement to pray. So He's opened the way of holies into the Holy of Holies. He has invited us to pray. He encourages us to pray. And He gives us examples of prayer. Why do we not pray? Why do we not gather for prayer? Why are we not saying to each other, let's meet for prayer? We've got Zoom. We've got all these things available on the computer, Skype. Why don't we meet for prayer? Can I say this to you? I'm going to finish with this. If every one of us in this building, every one of us, from today we began to say to God, we're going to pray for Copse Road Chapel. And we're not going to let you go. We're not going to give up. We're going to pray daily. We're going to pray for every member, that God might bless every member. We're going to pray for the growth of this church. We're going to pray for conversions. We're going to pray for families to come. We're going to pray for this church to be filled. We're going to pray for children's work, youth work, work amongst all age groups. If every one of us, every one of us, set our face to God in prayer, I say this to you, God will answer. God will answer. You know the words of the Bible, you have not because you ask not. That's what it says. God says, you have not because you ask not. Have you ever asked yourself, why do we not see conversions? Well, do you pray for conversions? Have you committed yourself daily? I'm going to pray for conversions. We don't have children's work, youth work. Have you asked God for it? Have you prayed? I urge you, my friends, let's come to God in prayer, and God will bless this church.